Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer, and that's a little bit of Olympic fanfare and theme performed by the Boston Pops Orchestra and written by the composer John Williams. The 2014 Winter Olympics are half a world away in Sochi, and between stories of terror threats, botched hotels for press, and reports of massive government killings of stray dogs, it seems like the coverage has been focused more on Russia's political situation than about sports. But you hear that music. Right now, we're going to talk about Olympic athletes and the athletes to watch in Sochi. We're going to build a listener-powered guide of who to watch. We'll put your choices up on the website later. And here to talk through the different athletes that he's watching is Mike Pesca. He's NPR sports correspondent and a panelist on Slate's Hang Up and Listen podcast. Hang Up and Listen will be hosting a daily Olympics podcast during the Sochi Games. Mike, welcome back to WNYC.
Hello. Thanks.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. Who are you watching in the Winter Olympics this year? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Mike, I have to tell you, when I was asking myself, who am I going to be watching in the Winter Olympics in Sochi? I don't have a single name. So educate me. Who's the top best story of an Olympic athlete in Sochi?
You had Lindsey Vonn to root for, right? And then she got hurt. Bodie Miller still exists. Shaun White still exists, but he just pulled out of the new slope-style event. How about this? There's a skeleton. Do you know the sport of skeleton? You run downhill on a bobsled track, and then you jump on a cafeteria tray, essentially, and you go head first. There's a mother of two named Noelle Pikus-Pace, who's one of America's best, and in the last couple Olympics, her sled always seemed to break. One time, checking it in at the airport, that's okay. Her husband's some metallurgist type guy.
Wow.
And would make replacement
sleds. Repaired the sled?
Yes. So it should be between her and a couple of British skeleton athletes in that, the most exciting, dangerous, and insane of the sliding sports.
Are you called a skeleton sledder, or what's the word for an
Skeletor,
athlete?
Maybe? I don't know. G-man?
Do you know where she's from in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think she was born in Provo and lives in Utah still, Park City.
That's where you learn how to be a Skeletor.
Yes, or there are these little, if you hosted an Olympics, so Park City and Lake Placid are huge hubs of Olympians because there are only a couple tracks for some of these events.
Lindsey Vonn, you mentioned, the skier that we know from previous Olympics. She's not competing this year, but there are lots of signature American athletes in Sochi. Gracie Gold, the figure skater, and Bodie Miller is back. They've earned covers on Sports Illustrated. Is it fair to say that the stars we're going to be paying most attention to this year are from the United States?
Well, that's how, I would say that's how NBC, feeds you the diet of what you'll be watching. But I've been to other countries while they did the Olympics. I was in Korea during, I think it was maybe the Atlanta Games. And oh, my gosh, was table tennis the biggest sport there. So every country is jingoistic when it comes to the Olympics. If you want to, root for an American instead of Lindsey Vonn, and you should, Juliette Mancuso, who medaled in previous Olympics, is still on the team. And she has hopes. But one of my favorite skiers is Tina Maze, who's just the greatest Slovenian skier. In fact, the Slovenian athlete of the year. And she participates in the downhill, the super G, the giant slalom, the slalom. And she put out this record this year. She's actually a pretty good
She's
pianist.
Also a rock star? Oh, okay.
Well, she is a pop star. She put out this record called My Way Is My Decision. And I would say it sounds much prettier in the original Slovenian, but it was actually in English. And it's kind of a horrible record. But of course, because she's so famous in Slovenia, it went to number one. And she has a very winning personality, So if you want to root for someone internationally, skiing is always. Some of these events seem a little constructed, like this slope style maybe is exciting, but really, are there really handrails on a mountainside? No. So that's why I kind of like skiing. It is the most natural of the Winter Olympic sports.
Yeah. Explain slope style, because the first time I heard of slope style ever was following the Shaun White news. So what is slope style?
All right, so take a really aggressively architectured library from the Midwest where there are a lot of railings and stairs and stuff, and where, you know, all your skate rats are jumping off and then falling down. Take that and marry that to a mountain, and that's slope style. So there are a couple big jumps. It's a downhill event, but you, the first thing you do after you launch yourself, and when I say you, I don't mean me, but I mean, you know, one of these insane people.
And not Sean White anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Me and Sean have that in common. You know, you go on a railing. There's a railing on the mountain. There are a few of these features, you know, and you do a few tricks, and so you get awarded for speed. You get awarded for the style of your tricks. It's definitely an exciting made-for-TV event. There was, you know, part of the Sean White, I think more of an implied criticism was the safety of the course, but it has been reported that the course is really maybe the second best course in the world after the one in Aspen, and the course should be good. And the reason the event is there is because it's just a really cool event. The first qualifications, there have been some events going on today, and the first qualifications of the Olympics were in men's slope style. And the Russian who won, the back of his board had some graphics of it seems to be a comment or a shout out to Pussy Riot.
Oh,
and he was very coy about that. Yes, he said, oh, it could be, I don't know, this woman, you know, holding up a fist in defiance, could be that.
Oh, interesting. Well, we have to move to figure skating because figure skating is my personal favorite. I mentioned Gracie Gold before, and Susan in Brooklyn, that's also your favorite Olympic athlete this year?
She's one of them. I saw her when she won the Nationals a few weeks ago, and she was very good. And then also a figure skater.
Oh, great. Susan, we're having a hard time with your phone line, but Mike, tell us more about Gracie Gold. She's got a great name for the Olympics, but what else do we need to know about her?
And there's a 17-year-old snowboarder named Ariel Gold, so maybe, I don't know if either of them are supposed to win gold. None of the American women are actually favored, and I guess you could say it was controversial because Ashley Wagner, who was the most accomplished American female skater going into the qualifications in Boston, fell a few times. She was actually fourth, but they allowed her to participate in the Olympics. You know, they had a tough decision. Either you go by the results of that one qualification or you allow yourself to take into account the entire year's worth of work. And that's why Wagner was named to the team. And she's totally changed her program, by the way. She's actually dropped a few pounds. And she says she's, and if you see her, you're like, where'd she do that from? But
because she's small, you mean?
Yes, she's gotten really serious. And one of the things she said she did was she swapped out her music from Romeo and Juliet to Samson and Delilah. She says she identifies more with Delilah as a strong female character. Now, I don't actually agree with her reading of Shakespeare. I don't think Juliet was passive in that. But if she gets anything out of it, you know, I say go for it.
Well, we've got a call from Cindy in New Vernon, New Jersey. And this is a personal shout out to an Olympian. Cindy, who should we be watching in the Winter Olympics this year?
Oh, yes. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My nephew, Nick Farrell, is an Olympic ski jumper. We've been watching him since he was 6 years old. He's 24, and he just got there the other day, and we're really looking forward to watching him, even if it's going to be 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's great. So you've been watching him, learning how to compete since he was a six-year-old, now 24. Just give us a sense of, do you know how much he's been training in preparation for this? How has his life changed?
Oh, his life has totally revolved around ski jumping. And his family have been supporting him all along the way, the entire family, as a matter of fact. He just lives and breathes it. He spends a great deal of time. He's from New Hampshire, from Andover, New Hampshire, as a couple of the other boys on the team are from Gals. I believe this is the first year for women's ski jumping at the Olympics. And yeah. He spends a great deal of time in Lake Placid. We go see him between Christmas and New Year's every year compete. We spend a week up there. He goes to Park City. He goes to Europe. He actually trains, I believe, with the Austrian team and lives with families over there or, you know, with his teammates and so forth. So it's he lives and breathes it pretty much all year round.
All right. Leading up to this, that's nephew Nick Searle is how we say his last name.
It's Fairall, F as in Frank, A-I-R-A-L. Rall.
Okay, thanks so much for call, Cindy. And Mike, so big Live for Your Die representation on the ski jumping team. Tell us about the women's ski jumping team.
Yeah, it's going to be making its debut. It was kept out of the Olympics because of, I could give you a long explanation. Here's the one word answer, sexism. But now there it is. The Olympics are getting much more gender neutral and gender friendly. The two best women are both named Sarah. Sarah Hendrickson of the U.S., Sarah Takanashi, who's a tiny Japanese woman, and she's young too. Her trouble is sort of nailing her landings, because in ski jumping, it's not just distance. You have to look good doing it and then nail that telemark landing. So that's always an exciting event. They didn't show a lot of it on TV, except in the beginning of that wide world of sports where the ski jumper would wreck himself. But it really is an exciting sport. We just, you know, U.S. doesn't usually field anyone good. When I heard the caller was from New Jersey and she knew someone, I thought she might have given a shout out to Jasmine Fenlator, who is a Wayne, New Jersey resident, and she's a bobsledder. Bobsled's an interesting sport because, like we were talking about, Lake Placid, Utah, these are hubs of Olympianism, but bobsled sort of sucks in these athletes from all these other sports who are strong and who are fast. That's why Lolo Jones, the hurdle athlete, the hurdler, is on the Olympic team. And I talked to a woman named Asia Evans, who had this weird combination of sports. She was a sprinter and a shot putter, and she's very big for a sprinter, but so very fast. Her brother Fred plays in the NFL, and you could see it, you know, especially in Asia's lower body. And Asia Evans has this ability from a standing jump to jump so many feet in the air. She says she trains with NFL athletes and can outjump Matt Forte, if some of your listeners know who he is. He's an amazing running back for the Chicago Bears.
Wow.
And she's, and so she can outjump him, although Forte doesn't like to admit that. So the women's bobsled team is, the men's bobsled team is great too, but the women's bobsled team has a number of really good athletes on it.
And she's from New Jersey, you said?
This Jasmine Fenlator is from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Asia Evans is from Illinois.
Oh, okay, from Illinois. And one more bobsledding question, the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yes.
They're competing this year, right?
And their equipment is there. It was lost somewhere. Who knows? But yes, now they have their equipment.
Made famous from Cool Runnings and back at the Olympics in Sochi. Anything else? Any great story that's under the radar that you think we really need to know?
I have talked to some of our staff there, and I said, is it really as bad as it is? And they said, I think right now all the journalists are just trying to one-up each other with horror stories. The journalists' hotels aren't good, and there are a lot of dogs, that's true. But the all the events look like they're going to be great.
All right, competition abounds in Sochi. That's Mike Pesca, NPR's sports correspondent. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Have a great day.